Today's Saturday, the 28th of January 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 67th session on mindfulness for beginners. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero to today's program. And also, I would like to welcome all those who are participating into the session through Zoom and the Facebook live streaming. And our program agenda will run as a quick in-session mindfulness practice, and then it will move on to the question and answer session, after which we will have the talk on mindfulness from Venerable Bhante, and then we will wrap up the session for today. So with that, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session practice for today's session. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. Good day, everybody. So today, we will spend some time trying to do a mindful sitting session. So that's the idea for today. For this, you can make sure that you are seated comfortably. You can turn on the video if you are willing. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you have comfort in your sitting posture, close your eyes and be aware that you are seated. You sit in a comfortable posture, you close your eyes and pay attention that you are sitting. Notice what you feel when you pay attention like this. Initially, you might notice surrounding sounds. Nature sounds, vehicle noises, various people talking, working, you might hear. If you turn your attention towards your body, you might feel various bodily sensations. Notice what you feel with your body. You may feel pressure on your back, the pressure on your legs. Or some of you might notice the breathing happening inside your body. Maybe it is prominent at your nostrils. Maybe it is prominent at your stomach or chest. Breath goes in, touching your nostrils. Breath comes out, touching your nostrils. Or maybe the stomach moves forward with the in-breath, and it moves backward with the out-breath. This breathing happens again and again, and we try to notice few breath cycles. Time to time, various thoughts, memories, future planning might happen. But among these things, you can be aware that you are seated. You can be aware that you are breathing. Sometimes you feel sleepy. Sometimes pains, aches inside your body. But you know that you are seated. You know that you are breathing. Again and again, various things appear. But you know that you are seated. You know that you are breathing. Let's try to continue our practice for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you may open your eyes again. So that's few minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea. So you can practice on your own. Every day, try to at least take 15-20 minutes and do a mindful sitting session. You can experiment with mindfulness like this on your own. And with that experience, you can come and discuss with the group. With that, Namanta, I think we can move forward.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bhante, and much merits. So it's time for us to move on to the next item of the session. And this is a program we are having with the video option on. So you can turn your videos on at any time you like to. Arusha will be conducting the Q&A session, so I invite Arusha to commence with the reports received for today. Over to Arusha. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Namantha. With your permission, Pante, today we have three reports to share. So I'll start with the first one. Walking meditation. Stood with eyes closed, noting the weight of body on both feet. Aware mind was contemplating the constant change of object it was taking while standing. The cold sensation rippling through the body, pins and needles in hands, touch of clothes on parts of body. Mind also remembering it is not a whole person but a collection of parts. Hard, soft, watery, air, temperature, etc. Walked 25 steps on tiled floor. Mind noting, lifting, moving, placing. Uneven surface of floor, temperature changes in different areas of the floor. Thoughts came and went. Occasional proliferation, but watching mind now able to catch the thoughts much faster than before. After a while, mind noted lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing of each foot. Then it moved to noting empty sensation with each lifting movement and noted contact arising when parts of foot touched floor and then disappearing when each part was lifted. Walked 1 hour. Sitting meditation. After walking, sat mindfully to watch breath. The breath appeared in both nostrils initially and was more prominent on one side. A cold in-breath and slightly warmer out-breath noted. Breath became subtle, disappeared and reappeared. Continued to watch area where breath was prominent even when breath could not be felt. Cold sensation of body felt but stayed with breath. Sounds heard, not distracting. Thoughts were noted, but noted they were short with only occasional proliferation. Heard a loud noise on roof, distracted and opened eyes, but noted had 2 more minutes to go to the hour, so closed eyes and continued to watch breath. Daily mindfulness. Now aware when thoughts of greed, generosity, irritation, impatience arise. Caught being mindful, not saying something unnecessary, and the next minute not being mindful and saying something unnecessary. Much more even in accepting of what in the past would have been things that worried and made the mind anxious. Recognizing the impermanence and lack of control over things, making the mind lighter and happier. The daily practice bringing contentment and happiness is evident despite the challenges in life. Gratitude prominent in mind. Trying to recognize the start and finish of some actions during the day when mind remembers to do so. More aware of feet in daily walking, not only when doing walking meditation. With much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Great.
Okay, thank you for sharing your experience. Now we have basic instructions like small to short videos. You can find it on the presentation then that we might be showing towards the end of the program. That's the basic instructions for mindful walking and mindful sitting guidance. When you go through those two videos, it will give little information in the practice. How to do mindful walking, how to do mindful sitting. So based on those instructions, you have to practice. When you practice, your experience might be different. Your experience might be unique. So you have to practice and commit that experience. Then only we can discuss as a group and show the correct way of practice. First, you have to listen to those tapes, the videos. Then you have to practice on your own. When you practice while walking, while sitting, you might have different experiences. With that experience, you can write, we prepare written reports. You can write and submit a small report about your mindful walking and sitting experience. So this is the experience that we are sharing. And when we hear that experience as a group, we can discuss the proper way of practice. That's how, little by little, we can progress in the practice. That's how we can develop our mindfulness, little by little. Now, when it comes to this report, you can see that you continue with your mindfulness. You know that you are working. You know that you are sitting. And gradually, you try to continue your mindfulness. Although there are certain disturbances, when you practice again and again, you are able to continue with the practice. Sometimes you may notice that you are breathing. Your body is breathing. And probably from the background, you feel certain thoughts are there. But those thoughts are not disturbing. You can maintain your mindfulness. Let's say you are walking and you feel the steps, but in the background you feel the sounds as well. Surrounding sounds are there, but you are able to continue your mindfulness. You are able to maintain your mindfulness. This is what happens with the repetitive practice. When you practice again and again, you strengthen your mindfulness and you are able to continue your mindfulness. Although the surrounding sounds are there, your mindfulness prevails. Although the thoughts are there, your mindfulness prevails. So that's how we can grow our practice. And even after practicing for a few months, sometimes you notice when there's a loud noise, it disturbs you. It breaks the process. Sometimes you open your eyes if you're sitting. So that's the experience that you are sharing. There was a loud noise and it disturbed you. Open your eyes and notice this loud noise disturb your practice. That's fine, but you can again start over and continue the remaining part. Sometimes certain strong emotions come, probably like fear or anger. They may appear while walking or sitting. So if you are a beginner, you might try to avoid them. You might change your posture, you might stop your meditation and you might go somewhere else. When you come back and say, I felt strong anger within me, so I stopped my meditation. I felt fearful, so I stopped my meditation. That's the beginner's reaction these emotions, these thoughts. But when you practice again and again, when you gather more and more experience, you realize although the anger is there, you can continue with your walking process. Although the fear is there, you can continue with your walking process. That way, you try to go through this obstacle that's coming. Maybe strong emotions, maybe some surrounding disturbance, maybe some other feeling in your body, like pain, something like that. You try to go through that experience. You try to face that emotion. And when you walk with anger for a while, you realize it reduces. And again, your attention goes back to the walking process. Even the pain, if you continue your practice with the pain, sometimes it disappears. Even the fear, may be some other sensation in your body, when you continue with your practice, after a while it disappears. So in a way you are facing this obstacle, in a way you are going through that obstacle. So that's the proper way of practice. That's why we say, whatever that comes, just continue with the 1 hour of walking. Whatever that comes, just continue with your sitting. Just do the 1 hour, then only you can get up. That's the proper way of practice. Buddha says when certain emotions come in yourself, in your walking process, you have to finish that emotion in the same posture. Without changing the posture, you face that emotion. Let it be fear, let it be anger. If it comes while walking, you continue your walking process till that anger disappears. Let it be sleepiness. You feel sleepy while sitting. You continue with your sitting till that sleepiness disappears. You feel fearful. You continue with your sitting till that fear disappears. So he says that continue with the same posture till this obstacle disappears. So that's the proper attitude towards practice. With experience, we will develop this quality. So it says, be like bison. When a storm is coming, usually other animals are avoiding this storm. They try to go around that storm. But bison, they go through this storm. So within a short period, within a short distance, they come out from the other side much faster, much easier. So that's the way of the practice. Maybe within 2 days, within 2 weeks, you don't have that strength. But have this attitude. Whatever that comes, you have to face it. Little by little, you develop that ability. Let it be pain. Sometimes you are so fearful about the pain. So you suddenly get up when you feel pain. But try to take a few minutes at least. Be with the pain for a few minutes. Next day you can try 10 minutes. Day after you can try 15 minutes. That way gradually you are facing these difficulties that come. And with no time you realize you can sit for 1 hour without difficulty. Otherwise, probably a beginner, they can't even take for 15 minutes. That's how you start. But gradually you face it. And with time, you realize you can sit for 1 hour without difficulty. So this way, we try to continue with our practice. We try to face the difficulties that come. So that's the proper attitude that you should have. Even the day-to-day activities, you develop this confidence. Sometimes we lack control. Sometimes it is difficult to maintain mindfulness. Sometimes unexpected things come. But again and again, we face these difficulties. again and again you try to continue with your mindfulness, the confidence will develop. Even though the mindfulness breaks, your mind doesn't shake. You are confident about the process that is continuing. So that way you can strengthen your practice. So that's the idea. Try to practice this way.
Thank you very much, Bhante. The second report is also from an adult. The report begins, mindful sitting, breath as primary object. Sat on the cushion and gently closed the eyes. The body scan took place starting from toes towards head, then down towards toes again. Breath appeared, soon after which was felt around the upper lip and it was prominent. Mind stayed with the sensation of airflow near the nostrils for a while. Noted the mind's involvement with thoughts, and almost immediately the attention returned to the sensations of breath. Few sounds were noted, after which the awareness returned to breath. Breath was subtle now, and attention moved to the rise and fall of stomach, which was more prominent. Recent difficult event emerged vividly next. The urge to form a story was so acute that the associated quickening of the heartbeat noted. Tried to get rid of the event from the mind, but failed. Gave up the fight and let go. After a few minutes, the prominent breath was felt again. Sat for 50 minutes. Although wanted to sit for an hour, ended the session 10 minutes early due to eyes opening. Mindfulness during the day. There was less mindfulness in the past few days. It feels like the control freak in the mind has taken the center stage and is refusing to leave. There has been a lot of anger and frustration in the mind towards a relative last week. Found it hard to disengage from the inner conflict. The judgments in the mind were so vivid. For example, thinking, they are manipulative, interfering, unreasonable, and disgraceful. Why can't they mind their own business and leave me alone? Although a part of the mind was well aware of and watching this unfolding drama, the associated emotions were running riot, culminating in verbal conflict with the relative. After the event, there was so much shame and fear in the mind. Of all the unwholesome karma accrued. Regret about not taking time to calm down. Could have avoided answering the phone. Could have put a big piece of plaster on the mouth. Now it's too late. There's a bit of confusion in the mind in these situations. It seems like the anger and frustration and finding fault with others seem to have increased a lot with the increase of regular sitting and walking sessions. Noted the expectation of wanting to feel less anger because formal practice is part of the day. Perhaps this is a wrong view. Mind was much more regulated at the point of writing this report, but so aware of the preference for good feelings and dislike of bad ones. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. End of report, Bhante.
Although it's difficult, it's valuable that you take time to write it down. And when you write it down, you can compose it much better. That's why we usually recommend written reports. When you take your time, and when you compose this type of a report, then it becomes much clearer, and you can take your time with it and try to convey the necessary message. Now in this report, the writing style is good. You know how to practice. You know what's your priority when you practice. With that priority, you try to continue your practice. But at times it's difficult. various thoughts, emotions, reason, incident, they appear. But when you write this way, we know that you are clear about the practice. You know that you know what to do with the practice. That is very important. Otherwise, if you just start talking, then we are not sure whether you are practicing or not. But when we hear this type of a report, we are certain, we are clear that you know the practice. You know that you should be staying in breath. But these incidents, these emotions, they appear, judgments, they appear. When they appear, you try to fight them. You try to fight them. You even feel how the heartbeat is rising with the emotion. So you try to get rid of these emotions. You try to get rid of these past events. And in the same report you mentioned, although you tried, it is difficult. It's difficult to suppress these types of emotions. Much easier to allow them to tell their story. Much easier to let them be. Then after a while, after doing their drama, they disappear. So that's the proper way of practice. Although we want to get rid of these things, we can't. That's a good realization. You can't suppress these things. Just let them be. And it's a healing process that's happening. The inner dialogue, it's a healing process that's happening. But you have to allow it to happen. When I say allow it to happen, I know it's not easy. It is hurting. It is difficult. You feel so much friction. But when you allow this natural process to happen, it's the healing process that is happening. So allow it to happen, and you don't have to suppress. You don't have to get rid of these emotions. They will naturally go away when the time is right. Yeah. You should have patience just to lead this process, just to trust this process. When you trust, when you have patience, you know that these emotions disappear after a while. When it is time, they disappear. And other problem, so the first issue is trying to get rid of these emotions. This issue is trying to suppress this emotion. Another one is also connected, the shame. Now these things, these reactions, you have no control. It's important that you notice this is not voluntary. These things appear involuntary. So you really have no control over them. Feeling shame is useless. Because what to do if you don't have any control? If you have control, depending on your write-up, we can clearly see that if you have control, you get rid of these things. The problem is that you don't have control. That's the issue. So what's the point in feeling shame over them? That's the question we have to ask, right? If you are in control, you will get rid of these things. But you aren't. So just let them be. Let the thoughts, let the emotions, let the inner dialogue be. And you just continue with your awareness. You just continue with your walking. You just continue with your sitting. That is the proper way. The first one is suppressing, the second one is feeling shame over it. Both those qualities, it's not good for the practice. It's a hindrance towards the practice. So what you have to do is that be mindful, continue with your walking hours, continue with your sitting hours. Allow these inner dialogues, allow these feelings, thoughts to come and go freely. Let them be. Allow that process to happen. It's a healing process that's happening. Although you feel friction, although you feel difficulty, that's the process that you have to go through. So try it, and you may share your experience again.
Thank you, Bhante. The final report for today is also from an adult and is in two parts from two different days. 14th January, sat for 40 minutes on bed, feet touching the ground. Felt the cold tiles underfoot. I cannot normally discern my breath on nostrils. So I focused on my breath initially through the stomach, going in and out. Later moved on to the heaving of chest cavity and sensations at back of nose cavity as I breathed in and out. Very few external noises, but they were not too distracting. I could focus back on breath immediately afterwards. There was pain in the middle back in the beginning, ignored to focus on breath. Later observed it had gone away to be replaced by a pain in lower back. That too went away after a while. My body was tending to lean forward with back arching forward. Shoulders relaxed and tension went away. It was only then I realized there was any tension. There were a few disturbances, included getting up to let the dog in and out of the room. I could get back to breath immediately. Strangely, despite noise disturbances, I kept going till the set time was up. In contrast, I had tried mindful sitting earlier in the day, from 5:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., when everything was quiet, and I still failed to get any focus. Tried and tried and failed each time. This happened a few times, making me quite upset because it was strange. I had never had such a thing happen because I find it easy to focus normally and I am not easily distracted. I have no explanation for it either. This time I was glad things were back to normal. 21st January. Mindful sitting in the morning. There were a few disturbances from others. Still, settling in took quite a while. Focused on breath. Felt hardness of the surface. Back was straight. I felt sleepy at times. Took several deep breaths to overcome sleepiness and focus on breath as it settled to normal pace. I will continue mindful sitting sessions and will report on my experiences going forward. I'm grateful for your guidance offered through this program. Blessings of the Triple Gem to all. End of report, Bhante.
Okay, so that's your experience. And when you practice again and again, different days, you feel that your status of your mind is different, right? Depending on them, sometimes it is difficult to focus on a particular object. Right? But you can continue with your mindfulness. We have to make it clear. Mindfulness is our practice, not the concentration. Concentration comes as a result of mindfulness. Right? So when you say you fail to focus, there's a question. The question appears whether you know the practice correctly. You have to make sure that you know the proper way of practice. Mindfulness is the proper way of practice. That's what we are doing. Of course, we try to be mindful that we are breathing. Of course, we try to be mindful that we are walking. But again and again, you have to remind yourself, what we try is to be mindful. So when your mind is out of focus, when your mind is all over the place, just be aware that today my mind is like this. That very awareness, you can continue. That is the mindfulness that we are talking about. Certain occasions, certain days, you are able to focus on your breath more and more. And you are able to maybe observe 15, 20 breath cycles continuously. When that happens, you can know that today my mind is in this state. I'm able to focus much better. Some days you are able to focus. Some days you are unable to focus. But again and again, you can continue with the mindful practice. That's the correct way. That's the correct approach. It varies. It varies depending on the thing in your life. It varies depending of the time of the day. It varies depending on the season. Various things are there. So we are not interested finding the reasoning behind these status. Instead, we try to continue with whatever the available state in our mind. Let it be clear, calm kind of a state. Let it be out of focus. Whatever the state that is, you just continue your practice. That's the proper idea. That's your proper attitude that you should have. In that manner, you can practice and you can share your experience with you.
Thank you, Bhante. My apologies, I missed that there were two further reports, so I will read the first of those now. Sitting meditation. Watched breath, which was long and equal to begin with. Watched both in and out breaths getting shorter and gaps between the two. Breath disappeared and mind latched onto a thought, and then a long in-breath was taken spontaneously. Breath broke up again. Mind went briefly to pain and back to breath. Not sleeping, but mind aware, could fall asleep, so kept watching breath intently. Eyes opened briefly about 58 minutes and closed again to continue. Sounds and images came and went, short-lived, not distracting. Cool sensation passing through body, and later sweaty sensation, both passed after a short period. Meditated for 1 hour and 5 minutes. Walking. Walked 20 steps on tiled floor. Initially watched left, right feet, and then lifting, moving, lowering, placing, pressing of each foot. Noted temperature changes on floor in different areas and weight on each foot when other lifted. Uneven surface underfoot noted. Noted intention to lift, place, and empty sensation as foot lifted off ground. End of thought to lift, move, or place caught at times. Occasional hot sensation through the body. Thoughts came, as did images, but mind went back to feet after a short time. Walked 30 minutes. Daily mindfulness. Tried to be mindful during a session of cooking. Noted temperature of water when washing vegetables. The warmth of vegetables compared to cooler water. The pressure of knife when chopping. Hardness, softness of different vegetables. Tried to watch the start and end of each movement. Not so successful. Lasted only a short time before mind was distracted. For example, holding knife, moving knife in chopping motion, sound as knife hit the board, end of each sound with each chop, was aware of feet when walking in kitchen. With much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. The end of report.
Okay, so now in your walking and sitting reports, you mentioned that you start to notice the differences. You notice how the breath is changing. So it's an important phase of the practice. When you start to notice how the breath is changing, you are waiting ready for a roller coaster ride. So you have to make sure that you put 1 more hour towards the practice. Again and again, try to experience what is happening towards the end of your sitting session. What happens when the breath disappears? How different sensations, sweatiness, sometimes coolness, various things come, right? So just notice, just observe what is happening, what this experience is. I'm not going to tell you. You have to experience for yourself. You have to come back and tell us your own experience. You are getting ready for that phase. You have to continue again and again and see what is the experience that you're having when you practice this way. So that's about the walking and sitting. And then during the day-to-day activities, you try to be mindful. Sometimes you fail. But what matters is trying again and again. Although we try, we are not successful. Again and again, we fail. Again and again, we get carried away. But you can notice that you got carried away and you can start over. This is the meditation. You get lost, you notice, and you start over. Again and again and again and again. That's the process of meditation. And to continue this way, you should have certain kind of a strength in your mind. You are not giving up. I think that quality is called grit. You try to continue with whatever the task that you have. Again and again, you fail, again you continue. That quality matters a lot when it comes to the practice. Otherwise, you practice for a few days and you give up. You practice for a few weeks, you give up. That's not how it works. You have to have the stamina. You have to continue with your practice again and again. You fail, but you start over. That's the very meditation that you're talking about. So during the day-to-day activities, you fail again and again, but you have the strength to start over. Don't, stress yourself due to this process. Because you fail, you shouldn't be stressing yourself. Instead, gradually, again and again, you start. In a relaxed, calm manner, again and again, you try to be mindful. Again and again, you get carried away. But again and again, you start over. So that's the process of meditation. That's the very process. You notice that you have gotten lost. You start over again and again and again and again. That's what we call meditation. And you can continue that way.
Many thanks, Bhante, for that helpful guidance and advice. Bhante, the final report, it spans over 4 pages and has a few questions in the middle. I wonder whether it would be appropriate just to read up to the first question for today and then pick up the rest of the report next time when we meet.
Yeah, that's a better session, I guess.
Thank you, Bhante. Let me do that. The report begins. I was walking in the living room, tile floor next to the Madhyamidula. At the beginning, each time my feet touched the floor, it was quite cold. But over time, the cold sensation became less and less. At the very beginning, I could hear monkeys jumping on the roof and jumping from tree to tree. There was the noise of birds. I could also hear the wind blowing. As I passed, I could feel the cool wind on my skin. I observed while walking that my left stride was longer than the right. After about 5 minutes of walking, I was able to fully concentrate on the walking and not be distracted by the background noise. I was walking with eyes about 6 feet ahead of me on the ground with hands by the side. I began to feel gaps between the tiles, kasthara, with the front of the soles of my feet. Later, I began to feel both the horizontal and the vertical gaps with my toes. I observed that every time I took a turn, it was clockwise that was the natural way of turning, although I could take a short U-turn. My walking area was about 4 foot wide and 25 feet long. I was turning right back on my heels unless I paid particular attention. I could also turn around within 4 short steps, which I sometimes did. I would continue to turn clockwise instead of anticlockwise. I tried to take anticlockwise turns, but it felt contrived and I stopped doing that. My ankle began to hurt after a while, and later the left knee. But these went away gradually. Although I could see the clock on the wall right above me, I kept my eyes about 6 feet ahead of me and on the ground with hands by the side. The compulsion to look at the clock disappeared after about 20 minutes, and I was not bothered about the passing of time. I kept my focus on walking on each step without getting distracted by the external noises. After about 30 minutes, I could feel that my soles were dirty, although I had swept the floor before beginning my walk. By around 30 minutes, my feet were tired and I decided to take a short 5-minute break. I checked my feet to see that they were actually dirty. I had a glass of water and I began to walk again. The tiles again felt quite cold at the very beginning, and the cold sensation diminished over time. I was observing how the transition of the body weight from left foot to right foot was taking place. First it's the ball of the foot, and then to the front area, to the left foot, and then again to the right foot. I thought of diagrams and muscles and tendons and how they work as we walk. Question. I was wondering whether such analysis was not appropriate during the walking meditation. The story about the centipede being asked how he managed to walk on so many legs also came to mind. He froze, and we say that is paralysis by analysis in management terms. But the fact of observing how the body and the feet were while walking felt appropriate, as long as I was focusing on my own feet and how they were transferring my body weight from one foot to the other all the while. Please comment on this. That's the end of the first section, Bhante.
Yeah, I think that's enough. And that explains the remaining part as well and the question. Okay, so this is how we all start, right? When we start, usually our reports are lengthy. And we don't know what matters. We don't know what doesn't matter, right? So that's the evolving process. Little by little, you become skillful in the practice. In the same time, you become skillful in presenting your experience. It's not two separate parts. Both are related. When you know the proper way of practice, you know what to present and what to avoid. That's important, right? So this is the thinking mind. This is the thinking mind. Now, towards the end of your report, you notice that that's the thinking mind. And you question yourself whether this is the proper way to practice. Whether I'm thinking too much, whether I'm analyzing too much, you wonder, right? That's a good question. That's a good realization. Only by doing this, you realize these things. And that question is related to the reporting part. That's why you have like 4 pages. You don't know where to focus. You don't know what's the priority. So again and again, we practice with the advice. Again and again, we try to write. We try to present our experience in a skillful manner. That's how you can grow. Now, in your report, you mention about the cold sensation. You mention how the heel is touching first. You mention how we are turning. These information are valid. This information show us that you were mindful among the walking process. But in between, you can see these analyzing parts. Written. In between, you can see thinking mind at work. So you have to make sure that you prioritize your direct experience. You don't prioritize the thinking process. Instead, you prioritize your direct experience. That is how we can get rid of this thinking mind. If we give the priority to the thinking mind, if you encourage that thinking mind, that's not going to work. Instead, we give the priority to the direct experience. When you feel the cold flow, that's your direct experience. When you feel which parts of your feet is touching the ground, that's your direct experience. When you feel how you are turning, that's your direct experience. So prioritize your direct experience. Thinking processes don't encourage that process, don't prioritize that process. Instead, thinking process might happen. You can't just get rid of this thinking process within a day or two. That's not going to happen. But instead, you don't encourage that thinking. You don't encourage that analyzing in your mind. Instead, you again and again come back to your direct experience. When you feel your feet, that's your direct experience. You feel the softness of the ground. You feel the temperature of the ground. That's your direct experience. When you feel the breath, you feel the in-breath, you feel the warmness, you feel the length. That's your direct experience. That way, you continue with your practice again and again. You try to observe few steps continuously. You try to observe few breath cycles continuously. In between these steps, in between these breath cycles, usually wandering mind happens. That's where the analysis comes. So you have to make sure that you allow
apologies, Bhante, and to all concerned, someone unauthorized has joined the meeting.
Various mentalities are there, so you don't have to worry about it. Right? So you have to make sure that you continue with more steps. You have to make sure that you continue with more breath cycles. That matters a lot. That's important. So that way, you don't encourage the thinking mind. You don't appreciate the thinking mind. That is how you can improve the direct experience. Instead of going after the thinking process, instead of encouraging the thinking process, you appreciate, you encourage the direct experience. So that's what matters. Next time, write a fresh report. You don't have to, present the same report again. Instead, write a fresh report. Next week also, we will discuss again. When we discuss, we can see what are the improvements in your report. Again, we write a fresh report. This way, we improve continuously. This way, we try to develop our practice. That's what matters. Writing matters. And practice matters. Both are connected. When you have the proper way of practice, you'll have the proper way of writing. So that way, we will listen to your report next week.
Thank you very much, Bhante. So we are almost at the end of the allotted time for the reports and Q&A, but we can take one or two questions from participants, if there are any. So if you would like to raise your Zoom hand, we can invite you to ask your question. I don't see any hands being raised. So I think we can wrap up the session there. On behalf of all the participants, I'd first like to thank Venerable Bhante for all his guidance and advice, incredibly useful to everyone, including those of us who may have been practicing for some time. Thank you very much to all the participants who shared reports for all of our benefit. We encourage everyone to do that in the future as well. So with that, I will hand back to Namantha to continue today's program. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Arusha, and much thanks to Bhante as well, and also Arusha. I think there was some sort of a hack into our session from an outsider. Maybe apologies for that incident. Just ignore whatever it was, please. And next is our introduction guideline for a beginner to start commencing the mindfulness practice. And I will share the screen briefly for this. Okay, I think you can see my screen there. There are two videos that we advise you to go through on mindful walking and mindful sitting. So once you go through them, you will get a fair understanding of what to do in each style of session. And the links are in the Zoom chat section. Then you can allocate some time daily and start practicing mindfulness. By allocating some time, like starting with 10 or 15 minutes, expanding into about 1 hour per each session when you get more and more practice. So for the first few days and weeks, you can practice something like 10 minutes or 20 minutes for each session, and then gradually increase when you become familiar with the practice itself. The next step is equally important. It is to write down about your experience as a practitioner in each session, and you can describe what the object of focus was for each session. For example, if it was mindful walking, it would be the sole of your feet touching the floor, or your bodily movements, or any other sensations arising through the walking session. The other would be if you are doing the mindful sitting session, the primary object could be the breath moving in and out through your nose or nostrils, or the abdomen motions, the abdomen rising and falling. Then the other thing would be that you could have seen or observed thoughts and other surrounding noises or disturbances in each of these sessions, and you can verify how your mindfulness or how your focus came back into the primary object whenever you get distracted. So that's a powerful thing, where you observe how the mindfulness returned into the primary object of focus. Then once you're done with that, you can write an email as a form or the report to beginnersnv@gmail.com. That's email there, or submit it through the Google form. Both these links are again in the Zoom chat section currently. Then also you can go through our previous recordings on the link in the point number 5 or item number 5, and go through those sessions and get more exposure to valued advice from Bhante. So with that, I would stop sharing the screen, and I would like to invite Bhante to commence with the talk scheduled for today. Over to Bhante.
Thanks, Namantha. I think we can take probably around 15 minutes trying to explain it a bit more about the practice. Now, when it comes to our mindfulness practice, we try to observe our breath. There's a reason when we ask you to observe the breath, right? When we observe our breath, we know for sure that we are in the present moment. As long as you feel the sensations, you know for sure that you are in the present moment. And when you walk, when you know, feel the ground, you know for sure that you are in the present moment. That way, we try to maintain our mindfulness. That way, we continue our mindfulness. And when that happens, when you observe your breath more and more, sometimes you feel like you are breathing intentionally. Sometimes you feel like that your breath is happening automatically, right? So this is our experience when we try to observe our breath. And let's say even while walking, sometimes you feel like you are intentionally walking, and sometimes you feel like the walking process is happening. So this way, we try to maintain our mindfulness. When you try to maintain your mindfulness this way, the questions arise. Questions arise, and it feels like whether this is something happening to you or whether you are doing this. That kind of a question might arise naturally, because sometimes the breath feels like it's happening. Sometimes it feels like you are doing it. You notice the difference between voluntary task versus the involuntary task. You start to notice that difference. In our life, usually, we don't identify that difference. And due to that, we create a whole mess out of this life. So when you start your meditation, when you continue with your meditation, little by little, you identify the difference between voluntary things and involuntary things. So breath is a good place to start. When you observe your breath, sometimes it happens as voluntary, sometimes it happens as involuntary. That's the nature of the breath. And when you observe that nature, naturally you start to feel the difference between two. You try to identify the difference between two. You experience the difference between two. So that's very important. That's very important, because most of the things may be happening. Maybe you are intentionally doing. You don't know the difference. And due to that, you create a whole mess out of it. So when you start meditating, you little by little try to understand the difference between two. Little by little, you experience the difference between two. Sometimes the breath is happening. Sometimes you are breathing. You are the doer. So even this life, sometimes you feel like it's happening. Sometimes you feel like you are the doer. If you are the doer, you accumulate responsibility. But if you don't have an authority, then you can't assume any responsibility. So the difference, it's very valuable that gradually we understand. It starts with the observation of your breath. When you observe your breath, you start to notice the difference between these two, voluntary versus involuntary. It's a very valuable realization. It's a very valuable experience that you can get in your meditation. Gradually, you develop that ability. Gradually, you create that capacity within you. And when you continue this way for a few weeks, few months, sometimes even the emotions, thoughts, these things, although you feel like they are voluntary, although you feel like you are responsible, most of these things happens involuntarily. Most of these things happens due to the past causes. So if they happen involuntarily, if they happen due to the past causes, then you can't really assume any responsibility for them. You can't really assume any responsibility. So in a way, meditation allows you to identify the difference between voluntary tasks versus the involuntary tasks. What are the things that are happening to you? What are the things that you are doing? The difference is very difficult to identify to an unaware mind. If your mind is not trained, if your mind is not strengthened with proper mindfulness, then you struggle to identify the difference. You assume the responsibility for the things that happen, and you start regretting. You feel shame. You worry over these things. That's what happens. That's what happens. But if you know that this is out of my control, if you know that this is due to the past causes, then you might not have a feeling of shame arising due to these things. You might not feel judging these emotions, thoughts. That's why, because you know that these are involuntary. These thoughts, emotions happen due to past causes. If you start suppressing them, if you start feeling shame, if you start judging them, of course, then you are adding on to these things. But the meditator, they know that these are due to the past causes. These are involuntary actions in my mind. And when we know that, you gradually allow that healing process to happen. You know that you are breathing. You know that you are walking. And you allow these thoughts, emotions to pass. Sometimes you feel various incidents, memories coming to your mind. Thinking, thinking, thinking. Worrying, worrying, worrying. Allow that process to happen. Don't feel shame. Don't try to judge. Let the healing process happen. These are involuntary things. Sometimes you feel your childhood coming, memories coming to your mind. Your childhood incidents coming to your mind. It's due to a past cause. Now, if you try to assume responsibility for this, if you feel shame due to this, then it's not going to work. It'll create more and more causes for such things to survive. So the meditator, they clearly know the difference between two. They gradually identify the difference between two, and they stop assuming responsibility. They stop worrying over the things that are involuntary. That's how you can solve this question. That's how you can solve this problem. Otherwise, if you start assuming responsibility for all the things, then it's a never-ending process. Most of the things are happening. Most of the things are happening, probably due to past causes, probably due to the nature, probably due to various other situations. Most of the things are happening to you. So if you know the meditation, if you know the difference between two, then you realize you don't have to worry over these things. You don't have to feel shame over these things. But certain occasions, you are the doer. When you are the doer, you of course accumulate more and more responsibility for that act. when you are the doer, you clearly know, now I am the doer. And when that happens, you accumulate more responsibility, you accumulate more causes. But the majority of the time, things are happening. We assume responsibility for the things that are happening. And that creates more and more difficulty, more and more friction in our mind. So the meditator gradually identify the difference between voluntary versus involuntary. They start with their breath, they start with their walking process, and try to distinguish the difference between the breathing versus the natural breath, or intentional breathing versus the natural breath. Then the intentional walking versus the walking process happening automatically. That difference you can easily experience when you meditate. When you walk a few minutes, when you walk probably like past 30, 40 minutes, you feel that the body is walking. You are just the observer. There's no real doer. When you keep observing your breath, after a while you feel that your body is breathing. You are not the doer. And that difference you can easily experience when you meditate. When you experience that difference, gradually you should understand whatever the things that are happening, whatever the things that are involuntary, you don't have to assume responsibility for them. Whatever that's voluntary, you are accumulating more and more responsibility. You are accumulating more and more causes. So when you know the difference between these involuntary versus voluntary actions, then majority, like 95% of the time, they are involuntary. And you don't have to worry, you don't have to feel shame over them. Only probably like 5% of the time, certain things are happening. And when that happens, you have to make sure that you are accumulating proper things. You have to make sure that you are creating good causes. Sometimes you create bad causes. Sometimes you become slave to your emotions, thoughts. That's fine, but still you know that you are becoming a slave. Still you know that you are accumulating bad causes. Certain occasions you have no control. What to do? You surrender to your emotions. You surrender to your thoughts. So, but you know that this is not good. You know that you are making a mistake. You know that you are dealing with this addiction kind of thing. But gradually, when you have that attitude in your mind, when you know, then gradually you can avoid these things. It won't happen overnight. It won't happen a week, within a week. For months, for years, when you practice, gradually you realize, now I don't have that type of a strong emotion, thoughts taking me towards these addictions. And said, if I want, I can do. Otherwise, I can avoid it. That strength will gradually develop. Gradually develop. And when it develops, you know what to do. You know when you are the doer. You know when the things are happening to you. So in our life, majority of the things, they are just happening to us. The problem is that we worry over them. We think we are at fault for these things. We feel shame due to these things. But the practitioner, their mind is ready to let go. Their mind is ready to accept the present moment more and more. And their mind knows that majority of these things were involuntary. So you can't really assume responsibility for them. What you can do is protect your present moment. If it is involuntary, you can protect your present moment by not assuming responsibility for these things, by not feeling shame or regret due to these things, by not trying to suppress these things. You can make sure that you are protecting the present moment. If you are doing something, if it is voluntary, you have to make sure that your intentions are clear. So at times, your intentions are not good. But still, you know that I'm doing this. My intentions are not good. That way, you can gradually protect the present moment. When you protect the present moment, naturally the causes, the present moment become the cause for the future. So the naturally the causes become good. And whatever the happening that's there, it naturally, gradually becomes good. That's how you can transform your life. Initially, you have to start with identifying the difference between voluntary versus involuntary. That way, you start, and with time, you realize majority of the things that are happening, you don't have to assume responsibility. That difference, you have to experience. You can't learn it from the books. Instead, you have to practice. You have to grow your mindfulness. With that grown mindfulness, you can distinguish the difference between voluntary and involuntary tasks. So that's the idea for today. I invite all of you to practice, continue developing your mindfulness. And when you do it, you naturally start to experience these things more and more. The things that we are talking, you start to experience. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits for that insightful advice. And if anyone has a quick question on the talk, we can spare 2 minutes. Okay, I think there are no questions for today on the talk itself. So I would move on to close today's session. It has been a great pleasure having Bhante representing Nisaranvanaya Forest Monastery. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to thank and share merits with Venerable Bhante Homagamudhamma Kusala Thero for joining us in today's session, representing the Nisaranvanaya Forest Monastery and imparting with great and beneficial advice on mindfulness practice. And I would also like to thank the chief abbot of the monastery, Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregam Dhammajiva Mahathera, for insightfully requesting this program to be. And I would also like to thank all the organizers who have worked hard to initiate this program and who are working hard to sustain this program. And I would also like to thank all of you for joining into the session, and you provide us the validation and the justification for continuing this program in this manner. And with that, I would like to end of today's session and wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and wish that you will be able to successfully implement mindfulness practice until we see you all in next week's session at the same time. So thank you and have a mindful week ahead. I will close the Zoom session soon.